I'm Dan Carell with DCA Card Links, and this is Commerce Code, a bi-weekly digital commerce podcast for leaders in card linking, loyalty and digital marketing, mobile wallets and payments, and financial data. Thanks for joining this running conversation with leaders in the industry. And if this podcast is helpful to you, come join us at a DCA Card Links event. You can learn more at www.digcomall.org. This week on Commerce Code, we have a first-of-its-kind, three-episode, Commerce Code deep dive on AI shopping agents and their impact. This topic is so thick and so significant that we decided to do three installments rather than just one. For all three episodes, I'm talking with Sean Conahan, the Chief Revenue Officer at Wildfire Systems. Wildfire provides white-label shopping rewards and cash-back platforms to companies like Microsoft, Visa, Citi, and RBC. Today, Sean and I are starting with intelligent shopping agents attack. What are they and what are they doing? I think by the end of this first episode, you'll see how huge the implications are of AI shopping agents, and you'll probably be out playing with them if you haven't already. Tomorrow's episode, we're going to unpack what AI shopping agents mean for payments, for consumers, and for merchants. Now, I don't want to spoil it for you, but in that conversation, Sean and I might conclude that when the dust has all settled, payments will still exist. Consumers will, I hope, still exist. And merchants may or may not exist, depending. And in the third episode, we'll take a look at how AI shopping agents will affect loyalty and marketing, Google, Amazon, and a bunch of other fundamental things that we take for granted today. So stay tuned for our first of three episodes in this week's series, Intelligent Shopping Agents Attack. What are they and what are they doing? Commerce Code is brought to you in part by VantageScore. 8 of the top 10 banks and over 3,400 leading banks and fintechs use VantageScore to predict and manage repayment risk. Learn more about the latest advances in credit scoring and how to grow your lending business by leveraging financial inclusion at VantageScore.com. Sean, welcome back to Commerce Code. It is great to have you on the show, and it's already somehow early summer. So I'll start with this. Do you have any exciting summer plans?
Well, first of all, thank you, Dan, for having me back. It's always a pleasure. And I should say I haven't taken a proper vacation in the 7 years I've been at Wildfire, and I'm not about to break that streak. But I might be able to take a few days off here and there. In fact, my 13-year-old daughter has some exciting summer plans. Every summer, I drop her off at Space Camp in Huntsville, Alabama, an experience I never got to have myself. She wants to work at NASA, and frankly, so do I, but that ship has sailed, so I get to live vicariously through her. Anyway, I drop her off on a Sunday, and then I don't have to be back till Friday, so I have a few days. I'll probably end up in Disney World or something like that. Other than that, as Wildfire continues to expand internationally, I do have a big trip, a literal around-the-world trip. I'm going to Australia, Dubai, Singapore, London, that sort of thing. So that's toward the end of summer. So should be good. Get some sightseeing in there.
That's terrific. And if you are going to hit Sydney or something in Australia, then you're going to include winter in your summer plans. So I appreciate that. That's good. And I'm a wholehearted fan of Australia. Okay, so we're here to talk about kind of the near future, I guess, of large language model or AI models. The words are evolving, but in online commerce, and there are a lot of implications. One of them is the impact kind of on the idea, maybe the existence of a shopping cart. And so a piece of critical background, lots going on here, but like just take one example. Perplexity recently announced a deal with PayPal. And, you know, I would encourage people, if they haven't used it, you can go to Perplexity. It's an AI tool. It's sort of like in the vein of DeepSeek or ChatGPT and others. And now Perplexity will let you just run a whole transaction inside it, like within the interface, and pay for it. And you can use PayPal, you can use a stored form of payment, and you just don't leave. And so that was a precipitating thing for us to have this kind of deep conversation with Sean about this. And it stands to reason that in the, you know, I think it's now been 3 minutes that we've started talking, Sean, that like four other providers have probably launched this capability too, right? Like it's just, you can't. So we're talking about Perplexity. I don't mean to suggest that that's the only one to be thinking about, but that's some background. So, you know, if there isn't really a shopping cart, which is, you know, that the situation in some cases now, it feels that way anyway. If it isn't Is it a retail platform? Question mark. It's a hyper-intelligent conversation partner, kind of, as we all know. So, you know, they're just kind of doing something else. So that's the background. And Sean, I know that you've had a chance to play with it and I think about it a lot. And you're obviously working in this terrain. And so, you know, what was your first reaction when you started playing with this thing, when you worked with it?
Right. My first reaction was extreme gratitude because I've personally wanted this for a long time. And this is an absolutely great start. The concept of conversational commerce, first coined by Chris Messina from Uber, dates all the way back to 2015. So the concept back then was that messaging apps like WhatsApp would obviously one day incorporate commerce into their interface, because why not? And that would revolutionize how people shop, but it never really happened. And then you fast forward to today, and commerce seems to have moved past WhatsApp to AI tools like Perplexity. And to date, those tools have mostly been assistants that have become force multipliers, certainly, which is all great, but commerce wasn't really front and center. Then in May 2025, Perplexity announced a deal with PayPal, and Alex Chriss, the CEO of PayPal, said, we're making it easy and secure to shop right in the chat when inspiration strikes. It's a powerful step in making conversational commerce a reality. So, and Dan, have you tried it?
I've played with it for sure, and I want to say two things. As a nerd, I'll say I think that even though the term might be slightly more recent, conversational commerce actually is probably 4,000 or 5,000 years old, right? In other words, like, you know, talking to somebody and being like, I'm not paying that, whatever was going on. Hey, do you got one of those things? Right. So that's been going on since, you know, since exchange began. But it requires, so I played with the Perplexity thing, and yeah, it requires an adjustment, right? To be thinking, I'm just in this interaction and kind of like maybe at an old market or whatever, like you just go, yeah, that's the thing I want. And then you get it.
Yep. No, and it's awesome. Yesterday, our CMO, Tristan, and I were buying things through Perplexity. We have Perplexity Pro memberships. And in one case, we literally bought a green sweater. And two things strike you immediately. First of all, Perplexity can scour multiple sources across the web with the contextual awareness of your user profile and other data, which saves you time and hassle. And so that alone is great, and it's a huge improvement over Google. But then it gives you the option to check out with Perplexity. And I cannot accurately describe the level of disdain I have for checkout. I think Amazon is really good at this. They have the cleanest, most uncluttered checkout, but then it's a precipitous drop after that. There's just everyone else. Wildfire has a conquesting product, and one use case is Amazon product level conquesting to find things for cheaper elsewhere. Most people don't fully understand that Amazon is not always the least expensive option. It's just the lowest friction option. And we can regularly find cheaper alternatives to the same product. But the question is whether you want to suffer through a frictious checkout process from a different merchant that may interrupt you. In the case of one merchant who shall remain nameless yet is a household name, 5 times with things like newsletter signups and other refer a friend offers, you know, versus just spending a little more at Amazon to not be bothered.
Did you like that though, Sean? Like, was that fun for you? Because somebody inside one of those bureaucracies thinks that people are kind of like, no, like they kind of like one in every 48 people actually signs up for that newsletter.
I'll tell you what, there's an entire industry built around cart abandonment for a reason. Totally. So people like me are abandoning the cart for some reason, and I'll bet it comes down to things like that. But in the case of Perplexity, all of that goes away. Their agent navigates all that super annoying checkout page for you and just applies your store credit card or PayPal, and your stuff shows up later. It's a major, major game changer. And I know it's a major game changer because on it was May 14th of this year, Google officially added Gemini to the search results page. So are there massive implications? Yes. If humans are asking Perplexity to buy them things, that means they're not asking Google to look for things to buy. That also means they're not going directly to a merchant to buy things. That alone implies a massive shift, not only in consumer behavior, but also in how advertising dollars are spent. If consumers are asking Perplexity to buy them things, that means they're not looking at ads. They're not influenced by the top 10 results in Google. The implications here are absolutely massive. And the links on the value chain are shifting before our eyes. But something even more important is happening at the same time, which brings us to the topic of the day here. The whole concept of consumers telling a chatbot to buy things has been leapfrogged by agentic AI, which means we have empowered our AI tools to have agency to do things on our behalf. A lot of different things, true, but for the purposes of this discussion, not the least of which is conducting commerce. Now Perplexity can act autonomously regarding commerce. As a human, I don't need to be involved in the purchase flow. An AI shopping agent can do it for me. In the example I gave before about the green sweater, we specifically chose that as a use case because it seems simple, but it's actually a little bit deep. There are a lot of different shades of green. There are a lot of styles of sweater, that sort of thing. So I have to be kind of the human in the loop. But soon I can give it a budget and let it autonomously buy things for me without prompting. And an easy way to get your head around that today is to consider low involvement things like cleaning supplies or other consumables, your regular bills, grocery and such. Why not let a shopping agent shop around for a better deal on car insurance? So you can start to see the magnitude of the opportunity. In fact, Edgar Dunn & Company has estimated 2025 agentic AI commerce revenue at $136 billion already, growing at 67% CAGR per year to $1.7 trillion by 2030.
I mean, that's the, just thinking about this, so many things are removed from what we think of as the normal industry structure in what you've described, right? So like, where's the advertising? I mean, we have separate, and in fact, people's careers, lives, you know, are segmented by this. It's like, oh, well, you know, I really do a certain kind of marketing, a certain kind of advertising, or right, certain kind of transactional stuff, et cetera. And, you know, it's all been integrated into a single thing in a way. And so maybe some stuff goes away, or maybe you could just say some stuff gets like piled back in to a single thing. But like the degree of disruption is colossal. The other thing I'll say, and you've kind of mentioned it here, but my econ way of thinking about the world is the only reason anybody earns a profit as opposed to a rent, and that's kind of your, you know, whatever, it, like a real profit, is because of imperfect information, pretty much, in most places. There are exceptions to that, but that's for things that are more commodified, green sweaters, cleaning products, all this kind of stuff, certainly car insurance, is because of imperfect information and switching costs and transaction costs. And what you've just described, I mean, like a lot of water will have to come under the bridge for it all to be realized, but I think we're watching it be realized to a great extent now, right? Like this is stuff that got talked about in theory for a long time. But if you take away all that friction, you've essentially, an economist would say, you've eliminated the profit and everybody's just earning rents.
That's a really interesting concept. And think about how much of that stuff is going away. Today, when my shopping agent is told to buy a green sweater, it doesn't care where it buys it. And I'm not present to type into a browser the URL of a particular merchant. And it further means that for me, no visit to a website, there's no influence by ads with pictures of humans enjoying, you know, product X or whatever, because AI agents don't have eyeballs and emotions. All I know is that I want these blue Nikes, and I want them for the lowest price. And my shopping agent can go figure everything else out for me. And perhaps most importantly, there's no shopping cart that I ever need to see. And there's no checkout process. My shopping agent can buy my product before the checkout page for human consumption has even loaded. And all of those options at checkout that you're referring to that are dealing with like the imperfect information, Apple Pay and Klarna, Pay in 4, upsells, add-ons, you know, you're buying this laptop, you should get this charger, like everything that's merchandised at the point of purchase, all of that effectively goes away, and you'll have, and all of that stuff has to move up funnel to survive. So there's no more identity verification. CAPTCHA goes away, thank goodness, right? Because I don't have to prove I'm not a robot, because my agent literally is a robot. And then, like we said before, what about the entire industry built on cart abandonment and retargeting? When there's no cart. So what marketers currently refer to as their funnel and their conversion optimization is based on humans doing things. And all of that is getting upended starting right now. What we're seeing is an inversion of the online shopping model from the consumer at the wide top of the funnel looking for a needle in a haystack at the very narrow bottom of the funnel to a shopping agent knowing what needle it wants in a somewhat narrowly defined way and the ability to look for that item across multiple sources of merchants at the bottom of those funnels, because it's easier for an agent to look at 100 sources than it is for a human to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back to an important thing you mentioned, which is CAPTCHA. My self-worth has been bound up for years now in my ability to identify what is and is not a scooter. And I worry about, like, do you think that we're all going to be okay if we, because I mean, we're, you know, it's like every, you sort of wonder sometimes, like, am I a competent person? Can I get things done? I don't know. But it's like, oh, I just correctly identified a bus after like four tries sometimes. I don't want to tell people how many times it took me, but I'm just, how do you feel about going CAPTCHA going away?
I'm ecstatic. Okay. CAPTCHA is going away.
I will just go ancient history nerd and say that I'm going to stipulate that in a prior life, you, Sean Conahan, were like the king of Damascus. You seem like the kind of person that probably was. But like everything that you've just talked about, again, is in a sense like you go through complexity to get to simplicity on the other side. You were the king of Damascus and you told your servant, hey, go get me that green sweater. You know, the kind that I like. And I think this one guy might be better at it, but whatever, figure it out. And then like, you know, there was a lot. It was complex, right? But by the way, like, were there billboards? Was there advertising? Probably kind of in a way, right? People were always pretty sophisticated, but it wasn't anything like what we have now. They had a conversational commerce model and, you know, people knew stuff and they walked around, but you, being the king, didn't have to do that stuff directly. And it kind of came back. And I think it's, you know, so much of history is us elevating ourselves to what it was like to be king back then, right? And so it's, you know, you're able to say to the thing, hey, cut through all the BS and come back to me with, and it could be car insurance and it could be the green sweater, but it just happens. One of the things though, that we are very committed to this, we're always committed to whatever structure we're currently in, and shopping carts that our grandparents wouldn't recognize because they're not real have been really important to us for a long time. And so it seems like the virtual shopping cart goes away, and I'm not smart enough to figure out how that affects like the payments industry, but it seems like it might be big. So I'm curious how you would say, okay, so what does it mean if the shopping cart goes away? Like, what does that mean for payments?
Commerce Code is sponsored by Pentadata, the all-in-one financial data API. Whether it is bank account data, credit card transaction data, or credit reports and credit scores, Pentadata has it all in one simple and easy-to-use API. With coverage of over 6,000 banks, over 200 million credit files, and 60 million merchants, you can get all the data you need for your apps at pentadatainc.com.
Well, we ended today's episode on my question to Sean about what AI shopping agents may mean for payments. We're also going to talk about what they may mean for consumers and for merchants. As I said at the top of this installment, I came away comfortable that consumers will still exist, that's me knocking on wood, in 5 years, but merchants, it depends. This has been our first installment of Intelligent Shopping Agents Attack. Tune in tomorrow to hear Sean talk through what they portend for payments for consumers and, yes, merchants.
Commerce Code is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you conversations with executives who are leading the way in digital commerce. If you like Commerce Code, your company should join the Digital Commerce Alliance and become part of our mission of advancing trade for good through standard setting, industry networking, conferences, and best practice sharing. Check out our website at www.digcomall.org. On behalf of DCA, have a great week!